Hi, thank you for joining me for Bible study. We're here at the Prairie Oaks Bible Study, and we're looking in Ephesians chapter 6. We've been going through a series of the Ten Commandments, and we're going to be looking at another one of them as it's described in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And that is, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, we've been going through the Ten Commandments. Remember the first one God, God first. Two, we have no idols, cut out the idols. Three, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Four, remember the Sabbath, and we unpacked that one over the course of 2 weeks. Five is honor your mother and father. And then the last table is do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and do not covet. And here we're looking at number five, honor your father and mother. Now, this is God's map to the home. God's map to the home. And I use the word map because we're going to look at the M-A-N-P, to minors, adults, and parents. So let's walk through this. Minors, you're told to obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, it was very common for teachers, whether it was Bible or even in the secular world of the ancient Greeks and Romans, to give instructions for how to run the household. And so Paul, in that vein, does the same, but his sound different than others. And one of the big things is he talks to husbands and wives. And it's not husband, how to rule your wife, but it's husband, how to sacrificially love your wife. He comes to the parents, or to mothers and fathers. He didn't just talk to them, he talks to the children, because they're expected to be in the assembly. That's kind of unique. And so in this section, he tells them, you need to obey your parents. He's talking to minors. That word children, technon, is for those that are kids, basically. And so he tells them to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And there's a lot of theology packed in that little statement that I think is worth bringing out. One is that they're to obey in the Lord. This implies children getting saved. That's why we have a children's chapel, children's ministry at our church, is that children can get saved and do get saved. And in fact, we had a girl of about 9 years old profess faith in Christ, and we had the privilege of baptizing her a couple weeks ago. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is what is righteous and justice. They to be trained young in order to walk in the fear of the Lord. And to be told what is right. Now, this is contrary to what children often hear in the media and from the world. They're told on the Disney Channel that they're the smartest ones in the house. But that's not what God's word says. We're to respect that authority God has given in the home of the mother and the father. This is what is fair, and this is what is just. You know, the kids are like, oh, it's not fair. It's fair, God says, and it is justice. This is what is right. You may think you know better, kids, than your parents, but you don't know better than Jesus did. And we're told in Luke's gospel, in his telling of the life of Jesus in chapter 2, that Jesus submitted to the authority of his mother and stepfather, Joseph. And so he submitted to the authority of his parents. How much more so as children? Now, as we grow up, the command didn't change. That's our second verse. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And so this command to obey to the minors is in honor your mother and father, but it doesn't end when we become adults. Because that word honor is speaking of value. It's kind of the same word in the Greek of value. Calling your parents valuable. So it goes beyond just respect, but it's showing practical value to those who have raised you. And I use that specifically because I know a lot of us grown up in broken homes, and it's been a challenge. And maybe you've got steps, mothers or fathers or something like that. Who's the ones that's raised you? Maybe it's, I cringe at the term, your real dad or your real mom, just because they were the biological. But no, who's the real one that has raised and invested in your life? Value those parents. So call your mom. You know, that's what she wants you to do. You know, respect your father. Now, it's nuanced though, because as an adult with your own household, it's not necessarily obedience in all those things. We have examples in the scriptures to point out that one of the most subtle but probably most profound is in the book of Numbers, when there was a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. And one of those ringleaders, his name was Korah, it says that the earth opened up and swallowed him and those who were with him. But it adds this little tag later on. It says, but the sons of Korah were not destroyed with their parents. It's because they actually disobeyed their father. They didn't stand with him in his rebellion against God and stood with God instead. And they were rescued from that destruction. And many of my favorite psalms in the Psalter of the Bible are written by the sons of Korah, those descendants. They changed the trajectory of their family by following God. But what is more honoring to Korah, that his legacy lives on because of the choice his children made to honor God first and foremost? And I think that's a valuable nuance for us to embrace, because I'm going to repeat it to make sure you caught it. By their siding with God, they not only rescued, but they honored their father's legacy. His name is the one that is carried on. We don't know the names of the sons of Korah. Maybe it's somewhere in the genealogies if I was better at paying attention there. But we know Korah, and that his sons stayed with God and left a legacy there. And what is more honoring than that? And so that really roots into a theme, a cultural thing that's a little foreign to us in American culture, at least of my generation. It's kind of coming back because of the cancel culture, but it is that shame honor. You don't want to bring shame upon your family. If you think to the old mobster movies, Mafia, where you don't want to dishonor your family. It's that mindset. Whatever you do reflects upon the family name. And so as adult children, we're called upon not to bring shame, but to bring honor upon the family, to do nothing that would embarrass them before others or before God, but setting them up as being seen as valuable or important. So it really does come back to call your mom. It makes her feel important, and it lets other people know that you think she's important. the last part of our map is to the parents. Because again, the Apostle Paul doesn't leave well enough alone. He's really meddlesome in that way. He's told the children, obey. He's told the adult children to continue to value and honor their parents. Now, parents, mothers and fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Parents lead the children to God. No one has a more powerful influence in the home than the mom and the dad to be able to influence the family for Christ. And so do not exasperate or frustrate those children, whether they're minors or adults in that regard. But rather, we discipline and teach these young people with the goal of them becoming more like Christ. To model as well as verbally teach. We need to be an example in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so that training and admonition, bring them up, shepherd them in this. Model and teach the fear of the Lord, because you're modeling God the Father for them. And as soon as I say that, I think you probably are with me in saying, that's an impossible task. How can I model God the Father in righteousness and mercy and grace and provision and protection in all those ways for these children? You're right, it is impossible. But God's not above calling us to the impossible. The Spirit is not above giving us instructions that are over our heads. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, the instructions to husbands, sacrificially love your wives as Christ loved the church. Die for her. Better still, live for her. Live self-sacrificially. And you thought the wives had it rough and being told to submit to their husbands. It is a mutual submission in that regard, as both mutually submit to Christ and self-sacrifice for the good of the home. And now he tells the parents, model the Father, because I've called myself Father, God says. So therefore, you fathers need to set them up to know how to relate to God the Father. And it's a command that's anchored to a promise. This is the first commandment with promise, very specific, a principle that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. A general principle that an ordered life is a better life. Ordered by God's standards and ways. God's will and his way, his commands, his standards, ordered by God. It may be contrary to the world. It may be contrary to what you've grown up. You may not have ever seen anything like it before. But to order our lives by God's word. And like I said, it feels impossible. But that's where I want to bring you to Christ. And show you what Christ did. And so, there in the sermon notes, you can look for these verses. But several times in John's gospel, he makes the point of bringing out how Jesus viewed his relationship with his Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. The Father does, and the Son just walks in his footsteps. That's how Jesus said it in John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 30. He says, I can do nothing. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus wasn't doing his own thing. He was doing the Father's thing exclusively. I want you to notice in John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. Exclusivity. That's the only thing he does. He doesn't do anything outside of the Father's will, and he only does fully what is the Father's will. Immediate obedience. There's one more passage in John chapter 12, just to kind of reinforce it one more time. For I have not spoken on my own authority, Jesus said, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. He does exactly what the Father wants in order to bring eternal life. And that included saying, not my will, but thy will be done at Golgotha, laying down his life on the cross for you and for me, because his obedience would be perfect where ours would not be. And so once again, we see that the commands point us to Jesus and his perfect obedience in our place, so that we could see the Father perfectly. And he sent his Spirit to empower us to be like little Christs, Christians, to emulate the Father by emulating the Son. And so, more time with Jesus, more time in his word. Honor your mother and father, that your days may be long on the earth, that it may go well with you. So let us order our lives by the word of God. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your Spirit who gives us understanding. We thank you for your Spirit who enables us to walk more closely to your word, which points us to Jesus, in whose name and for his kingdom we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me. I enjoy this time together, and we'll see you next time.